In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. When God was creating the universe, when he was fashioning the world and all that is in it, with each movement, with each artistic act, with each creative command, it says God saw that it was good. And when we get to the creation of humanity, God creates the man, and for the first time, something is not good. I don't know if you remember your story. God looks at the man alone and he says, "It is not good that the man should be alone." It is in our nature to be connected. It is in our nature to be in communion with others, with the world, with creation, even with our inner self, and of course, first and foremost, to be connected with and in communion with God himself. Now, when God sees the man is alone and sees that this is not good, first comes into being animals to build a community for him to not be alone. But this isn't enough. The man needs humanity, needs another human being. So God creates the woman, the perfect companion, the perfect completion of what was lacking, true community. And then with this creation, there is a community between mankind and creation. There is community between the man and the woman. And of course, a communion between humanity and creation with God himself. And God himself is a communion. He is already Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even in his very nature. So back in our ancestral DNA, we still have that voice. We still have that reality that when we are alone, something is wrong. And I don't mean alone in the sense of you're off in the corner reading a good book or you happen to live in an apartment by yourself. That can be perfectly wonderful. That's not the alone that we're talking about. And that's certainly not the alone that God is talking about when he says not good. The kind of alone that's not good is when we lose our communion with other people. When we lose our connection with somebody else. When we lose our communion and our connection with God. When we lose our connection to the world he has created, to the community around us he has given, that's when it's not good. When something in that communion breaks and we are alone in a spiritual sense, when our soul is disconnected, spiritually isolated from those God calls us to be in communion with. In fact, isolate is precisely what sin does to us. Sin isolates us. Sin makes us alone in that bad sense of the word. Sin isolates us from God. We know that. Sin also isolates us from each other on a deeply spiritual level. Sin forces us into an isolation and in a way that is just unnatural to our humanity. Sin pushes us away from each other in a way that is not natural to us. You know, 1 year ago today, was our last liturgy at full capacity before the pandemic set in. It was March 15th, so I guess tomorrow, a year ago tomorrow, it was the last liturgy at full capacity. Since then, in addition, when you think of all that the virus has the toll it has taken on people in a health sort of way, and then in caregivers in an exhaustion sort of way, and then in workers in an economic sort of way, in addition to all that, the pandemic also had another thorn associated with it, and that's isolation. That is isolation. We, who are created and designed for community, were suddenly forced into separation. Even when we were together, you know, we still had to maintain the bubble, you know, the 6 foot plus bubble. We still have masks covering our faces. You know, we're designed to look each other in our faces, and now we have to cover them up. We have no hugs, no dinners together. We have group with a small group of people, and our friends are at a distance. Everything becomes a screen. You know, a social intimacy and a social community has been lost to us for 1 year. tomorrow, 1 year tomorrow. You know, this isolation, as bad as it is, can at least be a teaching tool. It can serve as an icon and an illustration of the expulsion of Adam and Eve from paradise and remind us that we weren't created for this kind of separation. And whereas the pandemic was caused by a virus, our spiritual separation, our spiritual isolation from one another and from God is caused by our own sin. It's caused by our own failures. And whereas we gladly accept a cure for the pandemic, gladly accept when it ends, God also gives us tools to end spiritual isolation. Two tools in particular, two cures for this spiritual isolation. And one of those tools is repentance. And the other tool is forgiveness. And a good portion of Lent is dedicated to repentance, because on the whole, it is more difficult to acknowledge my own sins. You know, it's so easy for me to see somebody else's and so hard for me to see my own and to change my own willful ways and my own willful ways of thinking. That's why the church spends most of its time during Lent on repentance. But on this eve of Great Lent, the church invites us, and really more than invites, the church pleads with us. Like the father to the older son in the prodigal son story, where he goes out and he pleads with him, come back in and forgive your brother. The church pleads with us to forgive those who have sinned against us, who have sinned against our community, who have sinned against your family, your loved ones. Any sin that someone has committed against you that has hurt you, the church begs us to forgive them, to forgive that person. Jesus said in today's gospel reading, he said, if you forgive others, your heavenly Father will forgive you, period. If you forgive, your heavenly Father will forgive you. Second sentence, if you do not forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will not forgive you, period. Two sentences. It didn't matter how close the older son was to the father's house with his own deeds and his own obedience. He wasn't entering until he forgave his brother. He got that close. He could hear the music and the dancing, but he couldn't get in until he forgave his brother. Now, if you have trouble forgiving someone, there are a couple of things you can do about it. Well, the first one is to find good in that person. St. Basil the Great teaches, if you see your neighbor's sin, immediately remember the good that they do. If you see your neighbor sin, immediately think of the good that they do. See, nobody is all bad. Nobody. You're not all good. Nobody else is all bad. So Basil says, remember the good in them because it's there. And really, it doesn't benefit them when you remember the good they do. It benefits you. It benefits you. It keeps you from seeing them as just a sum of their sins. It allows you to see the complexity and the depth of their God-given humanity. And if you remember the good that they do, it will change your heart. It will. It works. It will lighten your burden. Find the good in that person, and you will see the image of God in them again. The second thing you can do if you have trouble forgiving is do something good for that person. And this comes from the mouth of our Savior himself. Jesus said, I say to you, love your enemies and do good. He says, do good to those who hate you and to those who spite you. Do good. Don't just think good. Don't just pray for them. Not that that's bad. Certainly we bless and pray for our enemies. But Jesus tells us to do good to them. And the fact is, it is way easier to forgive someone that you're doing good to. Try doing something nice for somebody and still being mad. It's hard. It makes it hard to not forgive them if we're doing good to them. When we get our body and our spirit and our mind all acting towards somebody, we start to root for them, even if they have sinned against us. It really works. Now, if there's someone that you need boundaries with, you can do your good anonymously. You can do your good through a mediator, a middleman. And maybe there is going to be an occasional person where that can't happen. That does come up sometimes. But by and large, for the most part, doing good for them is going to help you. And Jesus taught us this because it works. So if this pandemic has taught us anything, it's that we are not created for isolation. We are not created to be separate from one another. If that's true socially, how much more true is that spiritually when it comes to our very God-given souls? But God comes to us once again today, just like he came to Adam and Eve in the garden, and he says, "It is not good for you to be alone." I see that. For you to be spiritually isolated from anyone. For you to be spiritually isolated from anyone is to be spiritually isolated from God himself. So through his church, God comes to us today. God pleads with us today to get past that isolation, to restore communion. And he says, this is how we do it. Forgive those who have sinned against your community. Forgive those who have sinned against your loved ones. And forgive those who have sinned against you. Amen.